الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن جاءكم فاسق بنبأ فتبينوا أن تصيبوا قوما بجهالة فتصبحوا على ما فعلتم نادمين صدق الله العظيم. My respected ulama, my elders and my brothers in Islam, if we have to examine the world and the history of the world, we will realize that this world has gone through many different periods, eras and ages. In every period and era was defined by different forms of progress. There was a period in the world that was known as the Industrial Age, the time in which the bulk of machinery was invented, factories were produced, and the nature of production in general changed, where goods in the world were no longer hand-produced, but were now produced by machinery, allowing them to be produced on a mass scale. But if you look at the world at present, we are experiencing another age entirely. It is generally agreed that the present age is the age of information and technology. What sets the world apart now from all the ages that have passed is the manner in which information can be shared in this day and age. If you look at the world 300, 400, 500 years ago, in order for a message to be shared, a lot of effort was required. Generally, a letter would be written. It would have to be physically transported from one place to another. When the recipient receives his letter, he will have to read it, compose his reply, and it would have to be physically transported back to the original sender. Then at some point in time, during the Renaissance era, the printing press was invented. Now, instead of producing one book at a time, literature could be mass-produced. This changed the landscape of information and technology to some extent. And then the telegram was invented. And then the telephone was invented. But if you look at the present day and age, there are certain factors that set information and technology apart from information of the past entirely. One is, communication today is accessible by almost every single person. From the youngest person to the oldest person, from the poorest of people to the wealthiest of people, from the east to the west and the north to the south, you will find almost every person has a cell phone. And then, communication and information, one is it's accessible to all, then it's almost instantaneous. A person can press the dial button here. In mere seconds, he's speaking to a person on the other end of the globe. He can send press on a message. He can press send. In a split second, in mere moments, he can communicate not with one person. Sometimes millions of people have received his message. His message doesn't need a visa to cross into another country. His message is not bound by geographical borders. His message spreads like wildfire. In today's terminology, they'll say that message has gone viral. And finally, it's cheap. It's affordable for everyone. So today, information is accessible to everyone. It's cheap and it's almost instantaneous. With everybody having the ability to communicate whatever he wants at any point of night and day, without any form of regulation, There is definitely a lot of complication that arises. Now you find people making a hue and cry that there is a need for regulation of information. Through false news and through media, elections can be influenced and this can happen and that can happen and there are scams and people are being taken for a ride. If this is the amount of damage that is done to people's dunya, imagine when information is not regulated, how much of damage can come to people's deen. We have a perfect deen. Allah Ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have not neglected addressing any aspect of our deen. When it comes to information, communication, they also, our perfect deen has taught us guidelines that need to be adhered to so that we can be safe in deen and dunya. The first guideline that we are taught is where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, "Min husni islamil mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'nihi." For a person to have beauty in his deen, then a very essential part of his deen is for a person to shun and avoid and leave out all that which does not concern him. That which does not relate to you, it does not concern you. Meaning it is not going to benefit you in your deen or your dunya. We find today, thus information and technology has become an obsession. Where people are hooked to it, absolutely hooked. If a person is standing at a line somewhere, and he has an opportunity to recite Durood Sharif, it will not even occur to him that I can recite Durood Sharif. Immediately he'll take out his phone. What is he looking at his phone? Anything and everything. A person comes early to the masjid as well. Instead of thinking, I've come to the masjid, let me recite some Quran Majid, let me recite some Durood Sharif, let me recite some Tasbih. He'll see there's time left for Salah, he'll take out his phone. The bulk of what we are looking at on the phone or what we are reading on the phone are things that are not going to help us in deen and not going to help us in dunya. If a certain team is on another side of the world and they are kicking a ball, then by us seeing who scored that goal and who kicked that ball, that is not going to put food on our table. That's not going to pay our rent, lights and water. It's not going to help us in deen, not going to help us in dunya. But so much of time goes in this. To the extent that there was one Hafiz al-Quran, he came and he complained and he said that I don't have time to recite a lot of Quran Majid. So someone gave him the advice and said, why don't you get rid of your WhatsApp? WhatsApp is not something haram that it has to be deleted. If it's used correctly, then there's no harm in it. But this person was spending too much of time on it unnecessarily. If there's an urgency, somebody will phone you. It's not that you cannot lead your life without it. So he realized that I was wasting too much of time on this. When he got rid of it, he was, to his absolute surprise, he realized now I could recite between 15 to 20 paras of Quran Majid a day easily. Where was all that time? All that time in the interim had been spent on his cell phone. So the type of information that does not help us. Today we have an obsession with a certain pop star, a certain soccer player, a certain person. Now we need to follow this person all the time on their Instagram, on their Facebook, or their Twitter account, or whatever it is. And the obsession becomes so ridiculous. That person eats breakfast, he'll say, I ate breakfast. Now we get so happy for that person, he ate breakfast. And then he puts a picture of his breakfast. Now we need to marvel and see what color his eggs were. And he had how many slices of toast. He's eating, he's digesting, and we're celebrating on this side. To what level have we sunk in our obsession with this absolutely useless information, which is not going to help us in deen or dunya? Allah Ta'ala has not sent us to while away our time. Our time is our capital to invest in Jannat. If a person has $100,000 in a nice neat pile in front of him, he lights a latch and he lights a match and he sets it on fire. We'll tell him, if you don't want that money, give it to us at least. But how can you just burn this money like this? If he's burning that money, we are burning our capital of the akhirat without thinking twice. The first guideline is, let us not waste our time in information, in communication that is of no benefit in deen and dunya. But the second guideline is, if the information is relevant to us, it does concern us, it is of importance to us, then first verify that information. Just because something is printed on paper, it does not mean it's true. Just because something is mentioned in the media, it does not mean it is true. If a person observes, he will notice that 90% of time, the media will report information that is alleged information. Means before it can be confirmed. After it's confirmed, you won't hear what the result of that was. Whether it's false, whether it's true, the information has already been spread. Sometimes a person's name has already been dragged through the gutter. In this regard, Nabi sallallahu Allah ta'ala mentions in the Quran Majid, إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ. If any information is brought to you, especially by unreliable people, فَتَبَيَّنُوا, first go and confirm that information. See the veracity. Verify it. Is it true or false? If you do not adopt this very necessary and vital step, أَنْتُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ, the result will be you will behave, you will take action in ignorance. Meaning you will accept the information at face value. Based on that, you'll break family ties. Based on that, you'll take out a gun and try to shoot someone, Allah Ta'ala save. Based on this false information, you'll start hurling accusations and slandering people. فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. Once you realize that the information I received was out of context, or it was absolutely false entirely, now you'll be left wringing your hands in regret. That I already took this action. I already fought with the man. I already broke the person's heart. I already spread this information and now it's false. Now what do I do? Once the milk is spilt, once the damage has been done, once the heart has been broken, once that talaq is given, or once that bullet is fired, then what good is it to sit and grieve and regret? Always we need to verify the information first. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Banu al-Mustalik tribe came and accepted Islam. The leader of the tribe was Haris radiallahu an. His daughter came into the nikah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She is our respected mother, the Juwayriya radiallahu anha. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that now that you have accepted Islam, upon the elapse of one lunar year, you will have to pay zakat. Zakat of the animals will have to be given as well. I will send a certain sahabi to collect the zakat of the animals. A date was fixed accordingly. When 1 year came, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sends Hazrat Walid bin Uqba radiallahu anhu to collect those animals. As he is going towards this tribe, some thoughts begin to play in his mind. That before we accepted Islam, in the pre-Islamic era, the days of jahiliyat and ignorance, I had a certain fight and misunderstanding with this tribe. There was bad blood between us. What if they have not overlooked and forgiven? What if they are after my blood and want to kill me today? As he comes close to the tribe, he sees the entire tribe have come out and are waiting on the outskirts. On their part, the tribe was so ecstatic and happy that today for the first time we can fulfill this Mubarak Ibadat of Zakat. For them it was an occasion of celebration, they all came out and they are waiting. When the Sahabi sees this, he turns around and he comes back to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he gives the wrong information that, O Nabi of Allah, those persons have turned murtad and they want to kill me. What is the reaction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam calls Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. He tells him, take a small army and go. But do not take action against these people until you first verify the information. This is the necessary step that needs to be taken. Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu goes. And he sends certain people, he says, go quietly and investigate the reality. They said, no, we can hear the adhan. The people are performing salah. He says, definitely this information is false. And then they come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they say, why did your collector not come? We were waiting. But let us just ponder and reflect. Had Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam not undertaken the step of verification, what would have happened? Innocent blood would have been shed in error. And once it's done and dusted, then we wring our hands in regret and say it was a mistake. But the first mistake was we did not verify the information. Now one tendency that we have today is when any information comes, be it on WhatsApp or whatever other social media information sharing platform it may be, we know sometimes this information may not be true. Or we know that it is impossible to verify. Remember something, a message starts off, it gets shared from one to another, to another, to another. By the time it reaches you, you don't even know where this information originated. So what we do is we just forward it. And we think to ourselves, well, I didn't write the message, I only forwarded it. So I'm not liable if it's false. I'm not in error. It's not my fault, I won't be sinful. And sometimes if a person wants to be a bit more cautious, then he'll even put a disclaimer in fine print, message forwarded as received. As if to say, I'm only sharing it, I'm not liable for it. But this also is incorrect. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, "Kafa bil mar'i kadiban ay yuhaditha bi kulli ma sami'a." All a person has to do to become a liar is narrate and share everything that he hears from every person. Meaning, you are not the one inventing that information. All you have to do is share false information. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "That is enough for you to be a liar in the court of Allah." Once there was a certain person, and he made allegations against one of his neighbors. And these allegations were not founded. They had not been investigated. So the case came to the Qadi in the court. When the case came to the court, the Qadi found that this man who made these allegations was totally unrepentant. He was unable to accept and acknowledge that for me to spread these allegations without them being verified was incorrect. He was adamant that all I did was share the information, what's wrong with that? So the Qazi tells him, today when you leave the court, I want you to take a piece of paper, write your allegation on it, and as you walk home, tear that paper into pieces and scatter the pieces along the path. He does as requested. The next day when he returns to court, the Qadi tells him, today when you return home, pick up all those pieces of paper. To the last piece, you must pick up those papers. He tells the Qadi, but that's impossible. Some pieces of paper got blown away, some fell in the river, some were eaten by birds and goats, and some got trampled into the mud, etc., etc. The Qadi tells him, my friend, this is the reality of your allegation. It went viral. The moment you spread information about a person, it spreads far and wide. Now, if it comes to light that your allegation and information was false, it is slanderous, then for you to go and track down every person who received that information and to do damage control is impossible. Information spreads so far and wide that for you to set the record straight, now that your Muslim brother's name has been tarnished, now that his reputation has been destroyed, his face has been blackened, how are you going to undo that damage? Our respected mother, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, false information was spread regarding her as well. False allegations were made regarding her as well. And the information was spread. What does Allah Ta'ala say in this regard? لَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا وَقَالُوا هَذَا إِفْكٌ مُبِينٌ. The moment you receive some type of slanderous information about a person, Allah Ta'ala says, why did the people of Iman not have a good opinion of one another and say, this must be wrong? If you have a good opinion of someone, Allah Ta'ala will not take you to task. But for you to think ill of someone, you have to have a proof in Shariat, otherwise Allah Ta'ala will take you to task. Then Allah Ta'ala says, إِسْتَلَقَوْنَهُ بِأَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَتَقُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِكُمْ مَا لَيْسَ لَكُمْ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. When you were spreading these type of rumors and you were gossiping, وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا, and you trivialized your action. You thought there's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. It's nothing so bad, nothing so big. You didn't think it was very serious. وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٍ. But in the court of Allah Ta'ala, spreading this type of information is an extremely serious offense. Once there was a certain person who went for salah, and he took long to return home from salah. So his wife begins to become anxious and panic. She's thinking, what happened to my husband? Obviously, living in an age of insecurity, people fear the worst. So she tells her son, phone your father and find out why is he delaying. So the son phones and he comes and he tells his mother, a lady answered Papa's phone. Now this woman is obviously absolutely upset and distraught that my husband told me he's going for salah. But when he phoned, a lady's answering his phone. So sometime later when the man walks in the door, his wife lets him have it. And you told me you're going to read namaz. Which masjid you went? There's ladies answering your phone. And what namaz were you reading? And this man is trying to defend his innocence and he's trying to say, no, I went for salah. But what happened was, there was a program in the masjid and I'd slipped up, I didn't inform you, and I sat and she's not hearing anything. So eventually the husband says, okay, let us find out what's the reality. He calls his son. He says, you phoned me? He said, yes. A lady answered. He said, definitely. But what the lady said? So the son says, no, the lady told me, the number you dialed is unavailable, try again later. So at least when the information was verified, the entire situation was defused, and now they realize there's no reality to the allegation, there's no need to panic and fight. But if the step of authenticity or verification is not taken, imagine that home would have been broken. Allegations would have been flying that this man is in zina, cheating on his wife, that child would have been in a broken home. What would have happened? In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the rumor spread among Sahaba radiallahu anhum that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had divorced his Mubarak wives. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu receives the information, it's unconfirmed. He's also concerned because his daughter Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu anha is one of the Azwaji Mutahharat. He comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to verify the information. We've got unverified information, what good is that information? He comes to verify it. The incident is lengthy. But he comes and he asks Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did you divorce your wives? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, I did not divorce. And then Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu says, can I inform the Sahaba? Because everybody's in a state of suspense, they don't know the reality. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allows him to do so. He comes to the masjid, he makes an i'lan that Rasulullah sallam has not divorced his wife. Another important point is the accuracy of information. I remember last year Ramadan, a message spread that a certain person passed away. I just take an example, Ismail Patel passed away. Now imagine how many people in the dunya have this name Ismail Patel. There is no further information. Now people are phoning left, right and center. People are panicking. Because one woman is married to Ismail Patel, another person has a father, Ismail Patel. And everybody is thinking, perhaps it's my Ismail Patel who passed away. In the meantime, the men are in Taraweeh. When they're phoning, nobody's answering phones. Imagine for 1 hour, 2 hours, people in a state of anxiety. To the extent where I heard there was a man in itikaf, he started to have palpitations. He started to panic. That was what happened to him. So much of taklif and difficulty caused because not false information, it was not accurate enough. For us to just add father of so and so who stays in this place or the owner of this business, what will that be? But so much of difficulty can be avoided. But nevertheless, when Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu confirmed this information, on that occasion, a verse of the Qur'an Majid was revealed. Where Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِذَا جَاءَهُمْ أَمْرٌ مِّنَ الْأَمْنِ أَوِ الْخَوْفِ أَذَاعُوا بِهِ. That when information comes, sometimes positive, sometimes negative, sometimes information to your benefit, sometimes to your harm, then some people have the habit, أَذَاعُوا بِهِ. Without bothering to verify, they just go and disseminate and publicize the information. Someone said so nicely, verify before you amplify. But Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَوْ رَدُّوهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ وَإِلَىٰ أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ. What they should have done was refer the information to those people who have the ability to verify it. لَعَلِّمَهُ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَنْبِطُونَهُ مِنْهُمْ. The Mufassirin mentioned that this verse also refers to information in our deen. Today we are exposed to so many different blogs, so many audio clips, so much of literature, so many websites. Today we don't know who's authentic, who's unauthentic. Who's above board, who's under the board, and who's gone overboard. We have no idea. It's just a name, it's just a voice in a clip. And yet we accept any information relating to our deen. Whereas Imam Muhammad bin Sirin, rahmatullahi alayhi, told us, إِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمَ دِينَ. Your deen is based on the knowledge of deen. فَانْذُرُوا عَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ. Do not accept the knowledge of deen from any person. First verify, who is this person? Is he thinking correctly or not? Is he on the sunnah or not? Which group is he aligned to? If we do not do this, then how false information can break a home? False information can sink your business. False information can start a war. Similarly, false information can break your deen. Allah Ta'ala grant us one and all tawfiq to be able to deal with information correctly and to follow these guidelines of disseminating information. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا لِلْحَمْدِ اللَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ